Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion of Lamb Ministries. I want to welcome you to our special teaching program. Some time back, I did a teaching called Messianic Teachings for Christians. It was a multi-episode program, covered several points, and it was successful to a certain extent about helping to affirm the faith of Messianic believers and to raise awareness of other Christians about some of the things that Yeshua taught, what the Bible teaches. I'm going to start a new series here, and it's going to be Messianic Teachings about the letters of Paul. Now, you might ask me, well, why am I asking that? Because the teaching of Paul amongst Christians is probably one of the dominant teachings that they've already received. In fact, bulk of the doctrine that's used by the Christian church comes from the teachings of Paul in his letters. Obviously, Yeshua did teaching the Gospels, and there are other books and other letters that were written in the New Testament. But if you walk up to the average Christian today, he probably knows more about what Paul wrote in his letters than maybe many of the other topics that the Bible covers. So why in the world would I want to teach about the letters of Paul and weigh in on that subject, since it's pretty well understood by many of the brethren? Well, here's part of the reason. You see, I think that the teaching that's been done about Paul is missing a whole lot of information. One, I don't think they really understand who Paul was, and I don't think they ever paid attention to what Paul said was his own testimony, what he said of himself. There's a very interesting passage about Paul. It's written by Peter. I want to take you to, and I want to read to you. It's from 2 Peter 3. This is a comment about the Apostle Paul, in which he writes, beginning at verse 14, "Therefore," this is Peter now, "Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you, as also in all of his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they also do the rest of the Scriptures, to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness." Now, there's a couple of interesting things about what Peter is saying there. He says that Paul has been given a certain measure of wisdom to teach us in the faith, but that there are certain people who don't properly understand what Paul is saying and where he's coming from, and when he explains things, that they twist and they miss the point and they misteach what Paul said, and that this causes great harm. And for them, it leads to destruction. It leads to the exact opposite of when we teach from the Scripture to edify, build up, correct, and improve, reprove the brethren. That there are certain brethren that take what Paul has written and distort it. Now, if you were to ask the average Christian today, oh, what are some examples of what Paul's taught that men twist and turn around? Most Christians would be hard-pressed to even understand why was this written about Paul. They're pretty confident that they understand what Paul wrote. However, as a Messianic believer, I understand what Peter is saying here because I have seen multiple times where good, faithful church brethren absolutely do not understand what Paul said, and they twist it into something else, almost the exact opposite of what Paul was trying to say. Part of what I want to do in this program is, the first thing I want to do is tell you who Paul was. And I want to share some things with you that maybe you didn't know about Paul. And then I want you to hear his own words when he gives his own testimony about what it is that he is and what he's doing. And then we're going to examine what happened to him, what happened to him, how did he become a believer, and how did he become the apostle to the Gentiles, and why did that happen? And then we're going to talk about the events of his life. I'm going to walk you through the book of Acts, and we're going to share the testimony of what Paul did. Then, in the end, now we're going to go through his letters, and we're going to say, what did he teach? And there you're going to see we've heard certain teachings of Paul that are, quite honestly, distorted, and they're not correct. Hopefully, we're going to straighten some of those out. For my Messianic brethren, I want to affirm to you that the Apostle Paul is one of your fellow Messianic brethren. And for my Christian brethren, the ones that go to church and so forth, I want you to understand this person that you've been relying on extensively, and by the way, you use him to debate against other prophets and other teachers in the Bible, that you need to stop doing that because he's not holding the position that you think he's holding. He's in agreement with what God has said. He's in agreement with what the Messiah said. But because of who he is, he's taught it at a completely different level. Let me share just a little bit with you about what we just read here. According to the wisdom given to him. Now, what exactly is Peter making reference to? Well, let me share a couple of things with you. Of all of the different apostles, the Apostle Paul was a Torah scholar. He was a teacher of the prophets. He didn't just go in and grab a couple of verses to conveniently fit with the idea of the Messianic theme. He actually could teach what those prophets taught. He could actually teach you what the Torah says. He was an observant Jew, and he became a believer in Yeshua of Nazareth. And so let's start off right off with this. His name is not Paul. His name is Shaul. He is a Jew. He was born in a Roman province, but he grew up in Jerusalem, and he was trained as a Jew by a very powerful, well-known rabbi. And his name was Shaul of Tarsus. Now, you don't hear any of that. Well, as a messianic, that's who he really is. That Apostle Paul business, that's the Greek, Roman Greek name that the Christian world likes to use. I like to use the name Yeshua. That's the Hebrew name for Jesus. And I make an effort to use his name as Yeshua because I want to emphasize the Hebraic background understanding. He is the promised Messiah that was promised by Moses and the prophets. And he's not just a special Christian God. He's part of what the Bible is about. The same could be said for Shaul. Shaul is a product of the Mosaic prophetic teaching, and he became a believer in Yeshua as the Messiah right along with the other apostles. And the so-called name of Paul is his Roman Greco one when he's out with the Gentiles, but who is he really? He's Shaul. And by the way, his thinking, his teaching, and so forth comes from a deep Hebraic understanding. He's not a classic Gentile teacher. He's a Hebrew teacher. And so we're going to examine some of the specific things that he did. Let me tell you what all he's able to do. Paul taught, and by the way, it's in his letters, deep Torah concepts. I can take those letters of Paul, and I'm going to show you how that he was teaching a concept that comes from Moses, and that the teaching in Moses is the same thing, and he's extracting something that Moses said, and he's explaining it the letter to edify the brethren, to correct them, to ensure that they're on the right path. Not only that, he understands the difference between, in the Torah, between the drash level, the remez level, and the sod level. And by the way, at various times in his letter, he teaches those concepts. If you go up to your average Christian and you ask him, well, let's go back to the teaching of Moses. Do we understand what is the difference between the pshat, the drash, the remez, and the sod level of the Torah? They have no idea what I'm talking about. They just take things as it's either literal or it's an allegory. In other words, they can only parse it out two different ways. Paul had the ability to parse out the Torah the way it's taught by a Torah teacher at four levels. And by the way, in his letters, I will pinpoint out to you and show you where he's giving a drosh teaching, where he's giving a remez teaching, where he's giving a sod teaching. And let me just summarize those very quickly so you understand what I'm saying. The Peshat level is the plain sense of the text. The drosh level is when the Bible is teaching principles, principles that exist for all time. The remez level is when we're talking about and hinting about the Messiah, the great story of redemption. And the sod level is what we call the mysterious level or the esoteric level. And those are hidden things. And by the way, the Bible is full of scribal marks called jots and tittles. Paul was an expert in all of those, and he taught jots and tittles in the New Testament. Yeshua, by the way, said, "Think not that I've come to do away or abolish the law and the prophets. Not a jot or tittle will pass away until all is accomplished." He was teaching those. But today, the average believer who has listened and heard the teaching of Paul has no idea what any of that is about. So when I say he was teaching deep concepts and deep things, he was. And Peter has warned us that certain men who are untaught and undisciplined twist what Paul said to their own destruction. We're going to try to turn that around in this program. We're going to take Paul to a whole new level of understanding for it. Paul also understood, and I want to give you some more information. He understood the base teachings of Abraham. The Torah tells us the story of Abraham, and whether you realize it or not, those couple of chapters in Genesis that talk about Abraham, those are the base teachings of base doctrine between God and man. This is God forming a friendship relationship with a man that will extend to his family, which will extend to a whole nation. And sometimes we call Abraham the father of faith, rightfully so. And he understood those base teachings, and he can take you from Abraham all the way to salvation in the Messiah. And by the way, in his letters, he teaches that. When we get into Romans, he's going to teach extensively about this, about how we're justified in faith by the example given with God and Abraham. He understood that and could teach that definitely. He understood covenants, and he knew that covenants were eternal and that God has never annulled or replaced any covenants. Now, I know in the Christian world, we think that the new covenant has replaced the old covenant. That is not a teaching of Paul. And that is not correct. And to assign that teaching to Paul is to falsely represent who he is and what he taught. And I'm going to show you where Paul taught exactly what the Messiah taught and not what has been attributed to him. Paul also understood the very character of God. And he knew that God keeps covenants, even though we don't. He knows how God is faithful to us beyond the level of our faithfulness. He also understood the unity of God. He understood how God is the Father, He's the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he worked with the unity of God in explaining and teaching us the faith. He never had an issue with that. He didn't focus just in on Yeshua the Messiah or just the Holy Spirit. He taught the unity of God in all of its different parts. He also taught many of the principles of truth and justice, how we sort out of affairs amongst one another as brethren. He explained grace and mercy. He never once ever explained that grace and mercy was something different from the law, that the law is one thing and grace and mercy is another. No, they were all taught together. In fact, he's going to make a very interesting statement in Romans when he's teaching this. They just said, faith establishes the law. Not that it replaces it or makes it go away. It establishes it. Wow, that's the exact opposite of what many of you have been taught about Paul. He's also going to operate with certain key definitions that we need in the Scripture. He's going to define salvation for you. He's going to define redemption, sanctification, atonement, sacrifice, justice. He's going to explain all of those things and use the biblical definitions for those, not the definitions that have been stored, distorted by the church fathers. By the way, I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but those words have new definitions by the church fathers. If you define those words differently than the way the Bible defines them, you will definitely distort the scripture and you will distort the teaching about God. Paul also knew the difference between clean and unclean, pure and impure, holy and the profane, just like the law teaches, and he never taught contrary to it. Probably the biggest thing that he did is Paul understood the story of redemption. He understood, for example, that the great story of redemption begins with the story of Joseph. And so he made reference to Joseph and his father Jacob and explained how this is watershed down to all of Israel. And he shared with us about who Israel is and the parts of Israel. And in fact, he loves what God is doing with Israel, and he offers to even give up his own life if Israel could be saved, if Israel could receive the redemption that God has provided for him. In no wise has he dismissed his people, nor has he dismissed Israel. And in his language, where he explains that he's the apostle to the Gentiles, he doesn't talk about the church as something separate from Israel. He talks about how the Gentiles get to come in and be a part of Israel, to be part of the commonwealth of Israel. So this whole concept of that Paul taught about the church that was something separate from Israel is nonsense. He taught the opposite to that. We're going to look at his letters and see exactly what he said with regard to that. Well, let me ask you this. Let me share this. Who am I intending to teach all this to? You know, I've mentioned all these things. Who am I hoping to reach out there? Number one, I'm hoping some of my unbelieving Jewish brethren are out there. That's who Paul tried to write to a little bit. I'm also hoping there's unbelieving Gentiles that might hear what we have to say. That's who Paul was trying to reach for it. And I'm trying to reach my believing Jewish brethren and believing Gentile brethren so that we can all see the Messiah together the same way and see God's great plan of redemption and salvation and his great plan to establish his kingdom here on the earth for us all to be a part of it. When it talks about that Paul knew the scriptures and the scriptures that were being distorted, you know, Peter talked about how those men distort the scriptures. What scriptures was Peter referring to? Because if you'll recall, at that time, there was no New Testament. The scriptures that Paul uses are Moses and the prophets, the Psalms and the other writings. And that's who Peter was referring to. There are certain men who take everything that's in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, they distort it, they don't understand it, they don't use it, they dismiss it, they make it go away. And that's essentially what men were doing with the teaching of Paul. They see, Paul was teaching what the scriptures say, and they were distorting those scriptures, and then they accused Paul of other things. Today, many of the teachers that we have in the faith, when they go to teach Paul, and when Paul quotes either Moses or the prophets, and he frequently quotes from the prophet Isaiah, they cannot go back to the book of Isaiah and teach that chapter or teach that portion of Isaiah that actually Paul was teaching. They don't understand what the prophet was saying. They don't understand what Moses was saying that Paul was drawing out and teaching. They think that Paul was just picking up a snippet of something out of the previous scriptures and then rattling it off and then going off with his own argument. They don't realize, no, he's actually teaching what that prophet has been teaching, and he's reminding you that that's what that prophet said. But that's not the way a lot of teaching is done today. Whenever they make a quote from the Old Testament, either from Moses or from the prophets, the Psalms, They just use a little snippet and they try to turn it into a theological, highly spiritual, weird picture to support something that they're trying to say in the New Testament. Paul didn't do that. When Paul would cite a scripture and quote a portion of it, he expects you to go back to that entire prophet and the whole paragraph and the whole thought so that you can understand what was he bringing forward in the teaching so that you can understand. We're going to show you some examples where he quotes from the different prophets, and we're going to go back into what those prophets really said, and we're going to show you deeply what Paul was teaching, as opposed to just skimming over a few words and a few verses. This is going to be an interesting study because we're going to look at what Paul has said, but we're also going to specifically see he didn't quite teach what some people think he taught. And we're going to try to clear some of that up. Now, did you know that Paul gives a very clear testimony about himself? I mean, he does succinctly teach about who he is and so forth. I want to read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 14. This is Paul who is teaching Timothy and trying to get him. Timothy, it's very important that you go forward in your ministry remembering what you've been previously taught. And what he had been previously taught by Paul was the Torah, writings of Moses, and the prophets. He said, that's the basis of our faith. Rely on that as you go forward to teach. Now, Timothy was a New Testament teacher, discipled by Paul. Let me take you to 2 Timothy 3:14, where he instructs him according to the same way that he had been taught. You, however, he's talking to Timothy, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you've learned them. I want you, Timothy, to remember all your previous instruction. Remember, it came from Moses. Remember, it came from the prophets. Remember, these are the things that I said, referring to what they had said. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You know what Paul just said there? He said that if all you have is the Tanakh, if all you have is Moses and the prophets and the other writings and Psalms, you have all of the sacred writings that you need to grow fully in the Messiah and be led to salvation in the Messiah. In fact, the original apostles and disciples, the scriptures that Yeshua taught from, the principle he's taught from, come right from the Tanakh, and they became believers in him as the Messiah. The original first believers in the new covenant, the only scriptures they had were the Old Testament scriptures. And that was more than adequate to teach them about the faith. And when Paul comes along, he's not changing from that, he's referring to that. He referred to it in his letters. He referred to it in the specific teaching of Timothy. And that's what I'm going to try to do with you. I'm going to take those teachings that he's gotten. I'm going to show you how they refer back from the original sacred writings and so forth. Now, I'm not disputing at all that what Paul wrote is not of an equivalent level to be in the canon or to be full of veracity and for the teaching of our faith. What I'm trying to explain to you is there's a real logic in what he did there, and it's based on the previous sacred writings. It's based on the original scripture. He's not doing something contrary to it. He's not modifying it. He's actually teaching that. So this idea that somehow Paul is saying something different from what was previously said is absolutely false. Now, I'm going to go through the book of Acts with you, and we're going to look at the testimony of Paul because he made several journeys, and Luke, when he wrote the book of Acts, got involved with Paul, and he cites his testimony where he went. Paul went on three different missionary journeys. On his third one, he came back, and he went to Jerusalem, even though many people counseled with him, don't go there because they hate you and they're going to arrest you and so forth. And oh, by the way, there is this incredible rumor about you that you're teaching people not to follow the law. And a lot of brethren are upset with you. Even believing Jews are upset as well as unbelieving Jews. They see you as contrary to the faith and contrary to the scriptures. And so we're gonna go through that whole sequence of events, including his trial and so forth. We're then gonna get into his individual letters. We're gonna start with the book of Romans, and we're gonna go through the different letters and look at how he offers correction, how he offers encouragement, and what he bases that on. Does he base that just on his opinion, or is he making reference to something else that will explain what that's about? At the end of the program, we're going to examine just for a little bit the book of Hebrews. And the reason is because many people think Paul wrote that. I don't believe Paul wrote that. And I'm going to give you some reasons why I don't think we should be giving attribution of that book to him after you understand some things about Paul going into it. And then, of course, we're going to have some conclusions. I'm hoping that at the conclusion of this teaching series, that you will have a whole new fresh look at what has Paul been teaching in his letters, that you'll have a little better understanding as to where he was coming from, what was the point, and how do we apply that to our lives in the context of obeying the commandments of the Lord, having faith in the Messiah, and having both of those working in our life at the same time. I'm specifically going to cover Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. You're probably thinking, oh, that's going to be a huge, long thing. No, actually, it's going to be kind of accelerated because there's a whole bunch of the stuff that's in there that you already know about. What I'm trying to share with you is for you to understand the writer, the basis of where he's coming from, and how the principles that he's teaching in there to edify and correct are coming from Moses and the prophets. They're coming from the previous understanding of Scripture, and he's making application. And he's helping the Gentiles to suddenly come in and be part of the commonwealth of Israel. We as Messianics, one of the transitional elements, is to bring Gentile believers into the Messianic culture a little bit. We need to explain Sabbath and festival and clean and unclean. And he is dealing with the same kinds of issues. He's not going to repeat that teaching, but he's going to set the stage for you to be motivated to follow the commandments. And the same thing is done with this Messianics. When you come in, well, you have a heart, you believe in the Messiah, you have faith in him for your redemption. And suddenly, because you understand what the Messiah has done, you're motivated to love God, and you love God by keeping his commandments. Well, Paul's doing the same thing. He's offering counsel to them on how to do that in a proper and effective way. So what we're going to learn from Shaul is that he taught the law and the prophets. He did not teach a new doctrine concerning that. We're going to learn and see that he was an observant Jew, that he himself personally kept the law. That means he kept kosher, he kept Sabbath, he kept all of the rituals associated, and he kept all the feasts. And we're going to see evidence of where he continued to do those things in the testimony that comes from Acts and from his own letters. And that Paul taught these very deep concepts, which many others do not understand. And hopefully we're going to bring that to light. Now, there's one last major thing I want to do by way of introduction to this whole series. And I've been mentioning about that Paul didn't do and didn't teach things that other people do. The whole idea that Paul went out and taught something other than what the law said, did you know that in the New Testament it records that that really was a rumor about Paul? That even back in his days, there were certain people that thought that his teaching was teaching something contrary to the law, and that he himself was saying he was Jewish, but not teaching it at all. And this is a rumor that comes up in the New Testament and is being discussed. Let me take you to Acts 21, verse 17, in which that when Paul had returned after one of his successful missionary trips, and he had brought a couple of Gentiles with him that showed they had testimony, they had accepted the Messiah. And they're coming before the elders there in Jerusalem, and basically what happened and what James tells him about this rumor. From Acts chapter 21, beginning of verse 17, it says, "And after we arrived in Jerusalem," this is Luke, by the way, writing this, "the brethren received us gladly, and the following day Shaul went in to James," by the way, his name is Yaakov, "and all the elders were present. And after he greeted them, he began to relate one by one the things which God had done among the Gentiles through his ministry. And when they heard it, they began glorifying God. And they said to him, 'You see, brother, how many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law.'" Whoa, wait a minute, tilt, time out. You know what James just said? He said the Jews that were in the land of Israel who had become believers of the Messiah had all become zealous for the law, that they got excited about keeping the commandments of the Lord. They wanted to learn the commandments of the Lord. They were doing them. They were observant. They were being faithful to obeying the Lord, all the commandments. You would not have recognized, and there never was, a First Baptist of Jerusalem back in those days, because there was no Baptist teaching back there in those days. The teaching that was back there was you love God and you love your neighbors and you obey the Lord and you believe that Yeshua is the Messiah. And they were zealous for it. And so James is pointing it out to Shaul. You're coming back, and I want you to understand the audience, the believing brethren, they're very zealous for the law. They're very excited to keep the commandments. However, there's a problem. Verse 21, "And they have been told about you that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, telling them not to circumcise their children nor walk according to the customs." Oh my gosh, can you imagine Paul walking in here? He's an observant Jew. He believes in the Messiah. He's out there ministering to the Gentiles. And all of the other believing Jews that are zealous for the law, they've heard this person in the faith that's supposed to be in the faith with them, another fellow believer of Yeshua, and they've heard that he's teaching the Jewish people out there and the Gentiles not to obey the commandments of the Lord. And just one of them had to do with the ritual of circumcision, that he was telling Jews not to circumcise their sons on the eighth day. He was telling Gentiles they don't have to walk according to the customs of Moses. They don't have to do those things. That is an incredible rumor against him. He would be soundly rejected by his believing brethren. But they all know, are you ready for this? This is not true. This rumor is false. This is a false word that was put out against Paul by some other people in an effort to discredit Paul amongst the people in Israel. And sadly, many believing Jews that were back in Israel had heard this, and they were very concerned about this reputation. They're very concerned about it. If you were to poll today and ask the average Christian, do you believe that Paul went out teaching that we should not follow the custom of Moses, that we should not follow the commandments of the law? The average Christian would say yes. Do you know what they're doing? They're perpetuating a rumor that is not true. Do you understand how slanderous that is to say that about Paul? Do you understand that you are sinning against your brother Paul when you say that? And yet we do it just as freely as possible and have no idea. That is a false statement about him. And what follows in the book of Acts is an effort to prove once and for all that is not a true statement. Let me read a little further to you. Verse 22, "What then is to be done? They will certainly hear that you have come." So this is James saying, you've got to do something, Paul, to dismiss this rumor and turn it around. "Therefore do this, that we tell you. We have four men who are under a vow, and take them and purify yourself along with them, and pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and all will know that there is nothing to the things which have been told about you, but you yourself also walk orderly, keeping the law. Now, let me just tell you, the average believer, when they hear this statement, they have no idea what James is talking about. They have no idea that there were four messianic believers who had taken a Nazarite vow, and that they had taken a vow in which they would not cut their hair before the Lord until the vow was completed. But once they complete the vow, they are to cut all the hair off. They're to present it to the Lord, and it's supposed to be given to the Lord, put on the altar, and certain fees to complete the period of the vow. It's a Nazarite vow. It's a very specific law in the law of Moses. You know what? Paul apparently was doing this at the same time himself. Apparently, he had put himself under a Nazarite vow. James is saying to him, so then take them, purify yourself along with them, pay their expenses so that they may shave their heads, and all will know there's nothing to the things which have been told. Paul was to go do the same procedure, shave his head, turn his hair over, along with those other four messianic believers. Paul himself was following the law and the Nazarite. And when James saw that he was doing that, and he understood he had completed his vow, he said, we have four others. Why don't you go with them? And if you pay their expenses, and you go and you do that procedure, everyone will see Paul is definitely keeping all the customs of the law. Paul is definitely, he's going to the temple before God and doing it. And everybody will know, hey, this guy, Paul, he is keeping the law. He's not telling anybody to not keep the law. So how successful was that? Well, Paul went and he did that procedure with those other four men. It turns out, as the history goes on, that he is going to get arrested. We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But let's think about this. Here we have the New Testament recording this event. James is given the counsel. Let's prove once and for all that Paul is not teaching people to dismiss the law, but to follow and keep the law. And Paul does that. He goes to the temple, and he's going to prove that he keeps the law, and he did it. We have it recorded in the New Testament, and here we are today. So why is this rumor still going on about Paul, and why is major Christian teachers going around using the letters of Paul to tell you not to follow the law, not to follow the customs of Moses, not to observe the Sabbath? You can go ahead and eat whatever you want instead of God's definition of what is going to be food. And we'll have different holidays. You can go ahead and mix those with other idols. It's fine. You have God's grace. When did Paul teach that? He didn't. Truly, Peter is correct. We have had untaught and unstable men, unprincipled men, distort and misteach what Paul taught. Wow. That is where we're at with that. Now, let me go just a little bit further about the events that happened in Acts, because he goes into the temple with them. And again, this rumor about Paul is even known by other people, and they see him in there, and they immediately lay hands on him and arrest him. They think there's a possibility those other four guys or other men, because he's the apostle of the Gentiles, that maybe he's been bringing Gentiles into the court of Israel inappropriately and desecrating the temple. So they're arresting him, and almost a riot. They all lay hands onto him. And the Romans have to come and actually protect him, because there's a big, it stirs up the temple tremendously. And he's now at this point, he's under arrest. And he says to the centurion that's there arresting him with the Roman soldiers, he said, give me a moment to speak to my brethren, and maybe we can clear this whole thing up. And so he said, okay, well, I'll give you an opportunity. Let me read to you from Acts 22. Beginning at verse 1, this is Paul who's going to describe himself in the midst of this rumor. He's going to clear up this rumor. He came in there to prove that he does keep the law. So listen to what he says out of his own mouth, besides the deed that he's done. Listen to what he has to say about himself. Acts 22, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you." And when they had heard that he was addressing them in Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated under Gamaliel." By the way, that's a very powerful rabbi. "Strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today." I was trained up exactly the same way you are. I'm zealous for this. "I persecuted the way, those that believed in Yeshua, I persecuted them to death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. And also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren. And I started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished." He's basically recounting to him, "I was an authority figure within Jewish law, and I was going after the people who believe in Yeshua. I follow the law strictly. But it happened that I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime. A very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven all around me. I fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Yeshua the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting.' And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told of all that's been appointed for you to do.' But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain man, Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law." Did you hear that? He was devout by the standard of the law. He's also a believer in Yeshua and well spoken of by all Jews who lived there. "Came to me, standing near to me, said, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very time, I looked up at him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one,'" that means the Messiah, "and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. It happened when I returned to Jerusalem, was praying in the temple, that I fell into a trance. And I saw him saying to me, 'Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me.' And I said, 'Lord, they themselves understand in one synagogue after another, I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him. And he said to me, 'Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles.' And they listened to him up to this statement, and then they raised their voices and away with such a fellow from there, for he should not be allowed to live." He proved to them that he was an observant Jew. This is his testimony. Paul is saying, "I do it according to the law. I am associated with people who are following the law. Yes, I have a testimony of Yeshua. Let me tell you what Yeshua did with me. Let me tell you exactly my eyewitness testimony of what happened." And because of his testimony of Yeshua, they rejected him. Not because he was teaching against the law. They didn't see it as teaching against the law. They just didn't want to hear the testimony about Yeshua. That was the objections. Let me go back to something that was said there. You remember the part where he said, "I was standing there holding the coats of those when they martyred Stephen"? You remember in Acts chapter 7, why Stephen gave this big testimony and they took him outside the city and they stoned him. He was the first martyr in the New Covenant faith. Paul says he was standing there holding the coats of the men who came and testified and were false witnesses against Stephen. Do you know what the false testimony was against Stephen? It's in Acts chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Here's what it says. These witnesses came forward and said, "This man is teaching that Yeshua came and told us not to follow the law, the temple service, or the customs of Moses." And the New Testament says that was false testimony. Stephen never taught that. No messianic believer ever taught that. But that was the statement they made against Stephen to get him in trouble. Hey, this man is teaching that Jesus said this and all that. When Yeshua said, tear this place down and I'll rebuild it in 3 days, they said, see, he's teaching to destroy the law, take down the temple system. Let's get rid of the customs of Moses. That's not what Yeshua said. He was talking about his resurrection, how he's going to raise up the temple of God in us in 3 days. And they weren't understanding his teaching about the resurrection. And Paul is there participating with them in the martyrdom of Stephen. He is giving self-testimony. I was one of those guys. I stood there knowing full well that was false testimony and I participated in it. He's confessing that because he's now saying that's not true. Yeshua did not teach that. Stephen did not teach that. I don't teach that. I teach that you should be zealous for the law, that you should keep the commandments of the Lord, that salvation in the Messiah is the promised redemption that has come from Moses and the prophets. But the whole idea is so that all mankind will learn to obey the Lord and be in peace with one another and be able to go to the kingdom. And then, by the way, in God's kingdom, he has laws. And he wanted everybody to be a good citizen, Jew and Gentile, everybody. You got to know these commandments. You got to know these laws. If you're going to be a full part of the kingdom, you have to learn these things. And that's what Torah teachers do. That's what the prophets would do. We're trying to keep the people on track. Keep learning the commandments and obey the Lord. So Paul lays out this entire defense of himself. He clearly tells these people, I'm a Jew. I'm not opposed to that. This is what I used to do. But while I still believe those things and do those things, I am now a believer of Yeshua. I've had a personal experience with Yeshua. Here's my testimony. And that part has changed in me. Well, that was too much for him. And they arrested him. The only thing that saved him at that point was he told the centurion, he said, by the way, I'm a Roman citizen. Well, Roman law was that other nations don't get to do harm to a Roman citizen. They have to protect a Roman citizen. So they arrest him. And in the course of the arrest, why he needs to now come before a Roman judge. Well, Paul's willing to do that. And in fact, they moved him down to Caesarea, where the Roman fortress was at. And he's going to meet the new Roman governor, a guy named Festus. Now, he goes down there. And the issue is that he's being charged with teaching against Moses and the law. That's the charge. So they dropped the Yeshua thing. They want to make the charge that he's teaching against the law. So here we are down in Caesarea, and we're going to be down there with Festus, the governor. And here's what gets said in Acts 25, verse 7. After Paul arrived, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many and serious charges against him, which they could not prove. They wanted to say, hey, he's breaking the law, he's teaching against the law, but they couldn't prove any of it because he wasn't doing it. Verse 8, and while Paul said in his own defense, listen to this, I have committed no offense either against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesar. I didn't violate the temple and bring Gentiles into it. I didn't teach others not to follow the commandments. I teach the commandments. Essentially what it said, I didn't do anything against the Romans, and I certainly didn't do anything against my own people. That's his defense. Verse 9, but Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, answered Paul and said, are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before me on these charges? Well, if he goes up to Jerusalem, everybody up at Jerusalem is going to call for his condemnation. He knows that. Now, he's a Roman citizen. He said there's an alternative. Going up there and just getting slaughtered by the Jews is not a good idea. Let's find another way to deal with this. And verse 10, Paul says this, but Paul said, I am standing before Caesar's tribunal where I ought to be tried. I have done no wrong to the Jews, as you may very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not refuse to die. But if none of these things is true of which these men accuse me, no one can hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. In other words, Festus, I don't care if they all line up and say they want to condemn me. I don't want you handing me over to them. So beginning of Romans says, I'm going to appeal to Caesar. I'm going to go above your head and appeal for me to be tried at a higher level. By the way, that's Roman law. Verse 12, then when Festus had conferred with his council, he answered, you have appealed to Caesar. To Caesar you shall go. That's how he escaped death from the Jews as a result of being arrested in the temple. When we get to Acts chapter 28, Paul's in Rome, he's under arrest. Listen to what it says about him in verse 17. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews, and when they came together, he began saying to them, brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. Now, we're going to have to sort something out here very interestingly. Some of the points that I've been making to you in this group, I've had these discussions with other church leaders, pastors, and so forth. It's very clear Paul's testimony is that he keeps the law, but they're still going around saying, no, Paul in his letters, he taught to be opposed to the law. So let me ask you a question. When I posed this question to pastors and church leaders and theologians about this dilemma, you know what they told me was the explanation how to resolve this? They said that Paul was really lying to his Jewish brethren, that he was just saying that to get the Jewish brethren to relax, that in truth of fact, he did not keep the law. He went out, he kept Sunday service, didn't keep the Sabbath, he ate pig, that he didn't keep the festivals, he didn't keep the commandments or the customs of Moses, and he was going out teaching Gentiles properly to avoid all of those things. Now, do we want to follow an apostle that our Christian leaders say is deceiving his own brethren purposely, and he's really two-faced, and he's not an honest man? Well, I got news for you. That is a worse accusation to make about Paul than a simple rumor. That is what is said about Paul. In the course of this study, I'm going to prove to you that these pastors are making that accusation about Paul is false, that his writings do not justify walking away from the law and the commandments, and that he was a faithful brother, just as his testimony says. Join me in the next episode as we continue our study about Paul. Shalom to all of you.